Welcome to the Loaded Goat. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris. And today, Aaron, if I may be so presumptive, I would like to offer you a gift instead of the gift of our small talk. And you've been working too hard. You know, we're coming up on the summer months. I want you to just feel like you can relax, take it easy, go into vacation mode. I thought maybe I could do this episode for you.
Oh, okay. That sounds all right. Okay. Okay. It'll be awkward, but I guess that'll be okay.
I also would just note at the beginning, it's not that hard to come up with these scripts. I did a short time. So, you know, I don't know whatever you're complaining about your workload for.
Well, I'll be curious to see how this goes.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for today's episode, we are doing the return of Malcolm Merriweather. This episode first aired on April 20th, 1964. How about that? It blows my mind. You know, all right, so picture this. You're sitting on the couch, looking at the television screen, and what do we see? We open with Barney pacing around the jail, waiting for Aunt Bee to bring him lunch. Apparently, when he's really hungry, not dissimilar to myself, his sugar blood drops. Not blood sugar, sugar blood, which is a nice little note. I just want to make sure that our listeners hear him. Drops it. He's no good to anyone. Barney then claims that he's got a clock in his stomach, a lot like the alligator in Hook, and just like his mother. So when Andy gives him a hard time, he gets hangry.
He gets hangry because he's brought his mother into this.
Yeah, it's like I just saw a stand-up comedian talk about how hard it is to be in therapy because anytime somebody brings her mother up, it's like, get your mother's name out of my mouth. It's probably how Will Smith is whenever he goes to therapy as well.
Was that Gary Goldman who was doing that bit?
No, I didn't know who it was.
Okay.
All right, back to the show, Aaron. So Aunt Bee comes in with lunch. Tuna salad sandwiches and brownies for dessert. She's a bit frazzled and she leaves. Andy says he doesn't know how she does it and wonders if she knows how much she's appreciated. Barney can't respond because his mouth, Aaron, you guessed it, it's full. What do you think about that? Do you think he liked the food? What's going on? Give me your hot take.
I think, of course, he liked the food. It's Aunt Bee's cooking. How could you not like the food?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So then.
I mean, but here's the thing I was wondering, Christopher. Do you think Aunt Bee, this is like Aunt Bee not being appreciated, is a constant theme on this show?
Yeah, it is, for sure. But she's not set up for success by the writers.
No, I am starting to, this is kind of entertaining, but I'm just feeling like I really should. I feel like you're just reading stuff and not really knowing what syllable to emphasize.
Man, I was just about to introduce the ingenue of the show.
All right, go ahead.
No,
you go right ahead. I'm sorry. I shouldn't hit a gift horse in the mouth.
All right, so picture this. It's April 20th, 1964. And Andy and Barney hear a bunch of horns honking in the distance. And it turns out it's our old friend, Malcolm Merriweather, is causing a traffic jam by riding his bicycle in the middle of the road. He's played again by, yes, you guessed it, Bernard Fox.
And he's riding his bike in the middle of the road because he's not going to ride on the right or the left.
Okay. It seems like we've got an issue here.
What is the issue here?
Are you going to do the details or are you going to do the hot takes? I feel like we got to align our work streams here. Why don't you just take it forward from here?
I don't really think I have a good hot take. And and you walk through this like a
salesman.
You work through this like, I feel like all you need is some cocaine and to be at a party, and you're going to be asking me to go into business with you. Is what I think you need. that's what I'm feeling like right now.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're getting the rest and relaxation that
No,
you deserve?
I don't. I feel like I am being high pitched here. Is what I feel like.
Well, with that, I'll yield the floor.
All right. So, Aaron, but I appreciate you trying to give me that rest.
No, you don't.
I do. Just like deep down, Aunt Bee appreciated what Andy was trying to do for her too. So Andy and Barney greet him, and then they go into the sheriff's office and they see the map of kind of everywhere he's traveled. And Malcolm says he wants to go to Gettysburg, and Barney says he should go to Bunker Hill, where he mistakenly says that the Americans won. And then Malcolm corrects him and reminds him that the Americans lost a lot of the Revolutionary War battles. And then, of course, Barney lets his inner redneck come out and goes, "We still won, though." And in that kind of, I've heard that repeated a lot.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Malcolm says he pays for his trips doing odd jobs and butler work. And Andy offers him work at his house, and he's going to kind of make things easier for Aunt B. He brings Malcolm home with him, and he tells Aunt B she'll be doing work. And Aunt B rushes up to take care of the guest room, which is kind of goes against the whole idea of what Andy's trying to do here.
You know what I thought was interesting about this? If I may. What's that?
Yes.
I've got a friend named Malcolm. I can't ever picture him cleaning anything or cooking anything.
Is Malcolm kind of a disaster?
Malcolm in the middle. You know, he's not, you know, he's just going to ride that middle line. It's not going to be too much of a disaster. Not going to be too much of a help. You know,
he's just there. Yeah.
Just graduated law school.
Oh, great. Good for him.
Yeah. Thanks, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Good for he's Malcolm. Not a listener.
Congratulations, Malcolm. And thank you for being such a good friend of Christopher. And later that evening, they're relaxing and Malcolm is taking care of everything. Andy says Aunt B can watch that show where they're at a hospital and everyone is sick. I'm assuming he's referring to General Hospital, which has been on since 1963.
I was surprised it had been on that long.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of those soaps launched in the 60s. I mean, I think even Young and the Restless was launched in the 50s, I think.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you have Young favorite? Then became the Restless later.
Yeah. Yeah. The Old and the Restless. The old and the content.
You're doing great.
Thanks. Did you have a favorite soap opera? Have you ever had a favorite soap opera?
No, I don't know them at all. But at one point I did go to a theater festival in middle school, and the keynote speaker was on General Hospital. So I have some allegiance to GH.
Do you remember who it was?
No.
My favorite soap opera, I really liked it when I was a kid. It's not even on anymore. It was One Life to Live.
Oh, okay. Don't even know it.
Yeah. Well, I don't. You would have, it may have even gone off the air by the time you would have even been old enough to watch soaps.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just grew up watching CNN headline news.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you were able to stay up on the issues and you can be informed. You were as well informed as your typical cable news viewer.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So Aunt B then says she is uncomfortable having a man around the house all day. I mean, she's probably uncomfortable having anybody around the house all day, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, probably. It would be annoying.
Yeah. Malcolm then does a magic paper ladder trick for Opie, and it's pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty impressed by it. And Aunt B then learns Malcolm is taking care of all the evening chores, so she doesn't have to do anything. And the next morning, she rushes down after having slept in. I'm assuming she's probably slept to, 7:45? And Malcolm has already fed everyone, and she really feels odd.
This is not dissimilar to what we're currently going through with the replacements of AI, you know?
I have not really. Have you felt displaced by AI at this point? I have not.
I haven't either.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's going to happen. It'll probably happen in some way or at some point, but I have not felt that way yet.
Yeah. I've started to just code my own chatbot. So I'm at the top, you know?
There you go. Later at the jail, Barney is hungry again, and Andy learns that Aunt B, Barney is hungry again, and Andy explains to him that Aunt B is not going to be bringing lunch. And I don't know if he's coordinated with Malcolm or if actually he's kind of implying we'll go to the diner. And she comes in and offers to make lunch, and Andy says absolutely not. And then Malcolm comes in with a Cornish pastry that looks pretty scrumptious.
Really? The whole idea I thought was like, whoa, what was it? Like minced meat, and then you eat further and you get some like butterscotch pudding.
I don't know if it's butterscotch pudding. I wondered if it really is an amazing experience, or I mean, if you eat it the right way.
The English are known for their dishes, you know?
I mean, I was in, you know, so I went to Egypt and they said that Egypt is the considered the England of the Middle East.
Oh, really?
Because of how bad its food is. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Harvey Bullock had asked Bernard Fox for the name of a British dish, and the one he offered was called Spotted Dick. And they decided to go with another name. They decided to go with Cornish pastry instead of that idea. I can't imagine
why.
Yeah, I can't either. So they are all enjoying themselves, and Aunt B is feeling marginalized as we go to commercial. Do you want to do
not
the,
dissimilar for those that need a little extra push to how you felt at the beginning of this episode, I'd imagine.
I did. I felt very marginalized and I felt like I needed to jump in, and I felt it was hard for me to give control up. And I just wasn't feeling fulfilled.
Here we are.
That being said, I'm more than happy to let you do the pod machine, you know, announcement.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I can't wait to do this. This episode is brought to you by Pod Machine. Okay.
It was produced by Pod Machine.
They do great podcasts at what I would say is a great rate. Go to podmachine.com to learn more and enter, perhaps in all capitals, Loaded Goat, one word, at checkout for a 10% discount. Think about that, folks.
And if you're a potential advertiser and you're looking for a place to plug your product, there's plenty more where that came from. After the break, Aunt B is looking for Opie and complains about how he is not ready. Then Malcolm brings Opie down and he's looking dapper. He's got on a suit with a bow tie.
That's like even a tuxedo.
Yeah, his hair's, is fixed. I mean, he looks great. Now, Aunt B is not feeling happy about all of this. And Malcolm later comes out on the porch where Andy, Aunt B, and Barney are sitting, and they start discussing Gettysburg. And Barney, once again, butchers the history. Doesn't even know Abe Lincoln was the 16th president. And Malcolm has to correct
him. Malcolm did great. He remembered Zachary Taylor. Him and Franklin Pierce are like the two most forgotten presidents.
Franklin Pierce and James Buchanan. Yeah. Yeah, they were just the two that led into the Civil War and were really considered very ineffectual in preventing everything from happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good learning experience.
Yeah. So Opie shows up quite dirty and Malcolm sends him to his bath. Now, in my opinion, he really crosses a line here. You don't mess with a person's game of solitaire. They're playing solitaire because they want to be left alone.
I would totally agree.
Yeah, but Malcolm completes her game of solitaire, and you just don't do that. And he puts on her sweater for her, and she flips it off, and Andy notices. And in the kitchen, Opie tells Malcolm how Aunt B is happiest when she works because she sings. And she hasn't sung since the arrival of Malcolm. And
which
later,
is cute. I like this moment.
I did too. And later at Sunday dinner, Aunt B is in bed sick, and Barney rings the bell for Malcolm, it's so funny how he rings that bell. And Malcolm comes out plastered. I mean, he is rip-roaring drunk. And Barney and Andy are perplexed. He keeps calling for Aunt B, asking questions, and she keeps yelling down to him. The soup is also cold, and that he serves is also cold and right out of the can. And Barney says, "We've got an English Otis on our hands." And then Aunt B comes down, and they find Malcolm is a hot mess. And Barney finds an empty bottle of sherry, and Malcolm starts crying and says he's not welcome and storms off. And Bernard Fox actually said he took a couple of shots of scotch to do this scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And Aunt B says he must have had too much to do and cracked under the pressure. I mean, very, very likely. Very likely. And she says she'll take care of it and goes to get ready. Andy smells the sherry in a sink. And a few minutes later, we see a stone sober Malcolm saying goodbye to Opie. Andy walks in and acknowledges to Malcolm that he understands what he did as right as he leaves. And then Aunt B comes in doing work and all is right in the world as we go to commercial.
Can you imagine getting that drunk on sherry, like cooking sherry? Oh boy.
You don't get the impression that anybody on this show has much of a tolerance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it always takes everybody just a couple of sips and they're gassed.
Gonzo.
In the epilogue, Opie and Andy are sitting on the couch and Opie asks if Malcolm is coming back. And Andy says he doesn't know. And Opie acknowledges what a good job he did. And Opie then says Aunt B is much better at hugging. And Andy says that kind of hugging money can't buy. And Opie runs up to say goodnight as we close.
It's very sweet.
Yeah, very sweet. It's a very sweet episode.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I would agree.
They've done this. I mean, we're going to do another one next week that is almost kind of a retread. I mean, there's been several episodes of trying to walk the fine line of giving Aunt B a break and not hurting her feelings.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so this has been done before. It's still a sweet episode. And I mean, and we're watching this in a faster period than, you know, over the course of 4 years.
Totally. Totally.
But with that in mind, how many whistles would you give this?
I struggled with it a little bit. So this might come across a touch harsh.
Okay.
Five.
Okay. All right. I'd go six.
Okay.
It's a nice episode,
but we've done it before. I think they don't do kind of the depth of who Aunt B's character could be any service. You know, they do. Malcolm Merriweather is kind of a funny, quirky character that I do like that. But, you know, they don't add depth to why, other than it's her sole purpose to take care of them, that they didn't really. They could have fleshed that out a little bit more in character development.
You know, it's funny. I feel like as we start moving on to the color episodes, and with the color episodes, I'd say the first season, they try to do some of them are retreads. They really start going in different, really different directions with the color episodes. And I'm going to be really curious to hear your takes, because you're going to be watching episodes for the first time that really aren't retreads. But they're going way outside of the Mayberry.
I'm probably gonna love it. You're probably gonna think love the color episodes are the best.
You're gonna be the one person in America who's like, I love the Andy Griffith color episodes. They're my favorite. They blow the black and white ones out of the water.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, any final thoughts?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. And if you think about it, subscribe. Next week, we'll do the rumor. And until then, Christopher, don't be an English Otis.